Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, I know this is Drunk to Who. Our listeners know this is Drunk to Who. What's Drunk to Who about, dude?
Okay, bro.
But yeah, make it in like the ways of a 90s very special episode. Tell us, Steve.
So
what's like this all about, man?
Like an after school special where, you know, you wet the bed and your mom hangs your sheets out the window and exposes you to everybody.
I was very bitter when I was a young Robbie Benson.
I don't know. Is that who was in that?
I don't know. Special? It's just I was trying to pull up some like old name.
I do remember that from an after school special, though.
You
so.
Know, but I was also like, you know, it's like, oh, man. And I was like, on aspirin. Oh, the aspirin made me go crazy. Ah, don't do aspirin, kids.
That was the Helen Hunt on speed one, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the one where she like, you know, does whatever and like jumps out the window. I think when she hosted Saturday Live, it was just like they just kept showing that clip over and over again.
Then there
not stop getting funny.
I think it was Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell who had a very similar reaction to caffeine pills.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, I know. Something that's like, you know, it's like, oh, the aspirin made me go crazy. Ah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, my kidneys failed, but, you know, whatever.
Anyway, so this is a podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
The more you know.
Yes. Probably shouldn't drink as much. That would be our, like, after school special.
Oh, then we, like, just go nuts and just. Jump out the window.
Jump out the window. I mean, I'm in my basement, so it would not be a far fall.
But... So you have to jump up your window.
Yes.
Me, I'm like in the, I'm on the second floor right now, which being a loft, it's kind of like the third floor. I would hurt myself.
Yeah, I mean, if you lower yourself down. My windows are new
and like protecting, like, you know, they're more weather protected. I would probably do some serious shit going through there.
Oh, you're going to break it? You're going to Hudsucker proxy that thing and just bust through? I thought you were just would raise it first.
No. If I'm going nuts from all the aspirin and caffeine or whatever and the IPA, this IPA made me crazy.
Speaking of which, sipping IPAs, I just finished my first beer. It was a zombie dust. It was good. So let's move the show along.
Fine. This is 158th episode of Drunk to Who.
That sounded snippier than I meant it, John.
Fine. Whatever, Steve. Today we're going to watch The Doctor Falls. Tell me, Steve, what is The Doctor Falls about? It's series 10, episode 12. Go.
So the doctor stays after school after he takes a bunch of caffeine pills.
Wrong.
And he jumps out the window and falls.
Wait. What window?
The TARDIS window.
Which is it? Is it the one in the library?
Sure. No, by the pool.
Oh, okay. By the pool. Okay. Well, that was the shortest one you've ever done, Steve. Well done.
We're in the middle of a two-parter, so obviously he is somehow, the doctor is going to fall. I don't think he's going to turn into Jodie Whittaker yet. So the doctor falls. It's going to be somehow him sacrificing something to save Bill. Like, I don't think Bill is done, although it would be a bold choice, like we've talked about before, to kill companion or doctor, like... Non in a special
stream,
although they've done that, they've changed companions mid season before,
correct? Like Amy and Rory
and Clara,
right?
Yeah, so anyway, the doctor is hanging out with Helen Hunt and Elizabeth Berkley, and they all do like no dose and caffeine pills and jump out windows.
Oh, and he tears out his hair going, arr!
And then he ends up going with Elizabeth Berkley and becomes a stripper in Las Vegas.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
You know, if I had a nickel for every time.
You could make a phone call from a payphone if you could find one.
Yeah, no, I really couldn't. I would have no nickels.
You know? That's true.
You know, do I know Elizabeth Berkley? I know of her.
Yeah.
You know, but so let's see if all that happens. And but in the meantime,
probably
the best part.
Probably not the stripper part.
No, but he'll still meet Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, hopefully.
Hey, Steve, let's come back and let's have our trademark Drunk to Who toast of the podcast, where Steve brings booze to my mouth by way of like talking about some toast. See how I brought that back?
Yeah, so smoothly.
So smoothly.
Smooth like the discount booze you bought with a coupon you're about to drink.
No. This is actually I got like some $50 tequila. I don't know why. It was a gift.
Okay. That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
We're both going to hell.
Yay! Why are we both going to hell, Steve?
That is a quote from 976 Evil.
Okay.
That's
I
all.
Do enjoy that. It's like it incorporates both of us into it anyway. So.
Yeah. And it is directed by Robert Englund and stars, let's see. Oh, nobody anyone has heard of, except for the guy who was Evil Ed in the original Fright Night.
Oh, he did gay porn.
Yes. Later on in life, in the 90s, I think.
Oh, okay. So this was pre-doing gay porn.
I think this is from 1990. Well, it's 1988.
Okay.
Yeah, so no, it's not a bad movie. It just takes a while to get to the fun parts. The fun parts are like the last act where it goes a little like crazy bonkers other dimension kind of thing. And it spends way too much time in the first half being like, ooh, payphones are scary.
Well, would anyone even know, like, would the kids know nowadays? Like, and this is like the way of like 8-track tapes. Like, what does a 976 have to do with anything?
That's, I actually wrote a review on Letterboxd about this. And it was basically like the, if they did a remake, the modern equivalent of this would be essentially like a demonic Vine account. Like, because 976 numbers were a specific thing for such a brief period of time.
Dude, they haven't even do vines anymore.
I know, that's
you
my
are
point.
So grandpa.
That's my point.
It'll be TikTok, you dummy.
Oh, whatever. No, that whatever. My point was trying to think of something that it was like kind of a flash in the pan, sure. Like Vine. But yeah, they still do have 1-900 numbers, I believe. Like they're still a thing.
So for hey boomer.
Yes.
Hey boomer, so you want to talk to a quote unquote sexy lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do make a joke about that in 976 Evil. Robert Picardo has a small role as the guy who runs
the hologram doctor. I love him.
He has a small role as a guy who runs a bunch of numbers, like 976 numbers.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I thought you meant like gambling numbers. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, there could be that, but it was usually like phone sex or the horoscopes, the like, dial a psychic.
Hello, I am Lady Camilla. Would you like to find out what your horoscope is?
Didn't Dionne Warwick do ads for a psychic line? Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, you know what? Dionne Warwick got paid. Good on you, girl.
Yeah, no, I, you know.
So come talk to me. I am Lady Camilla. I will tell you what your horoscope is.
No, it was a Jamaican woman, wasn't it?
Or maybe I will give you my horoscope.
Yeah, horoscope. There you go.
Yeah, was that better?
Sure.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was a Jamaican lady, but I think she was, you know, I think she might even have been like a fake Jamaican lady.
I don't know. Oh, and there was that guy, like,
with the wicker
Uri
hair.
Geller? Uri Geller hair? With the crazy hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we've gotten off track like we normally do.
We're going to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
What?
Why don't you join us?
I will.
Come down, sit down on my lap and watch Doctor Who with me.
John, where do you live that they can come and watch it with you?
It's 976, jump in my lap.
That's not an address.
You know, they just like look in the mirror and say, John, three times. I show up and, you know, invite them into my lap.
Oh, I thought if they went into the bathroom mirror and said, John, three times, a toilet would appear nearby.
Oh, no. Evil Flushing.
Well, Flushing, New York, yes.
Well, so we're watching an episode of Doctor Who, so you don't have to.
I mean, I assume they've already, God damn it, we've done this so many times. I assume they've already seen it and they're fans of Doctor Who and they just want to like revisit it. And that's why they listen to this nonsense.
I just kind of say these things to see what kind of like thing you'll say about it, like how enraged you'll get each time.
Yes. Oh, John.
That's my bit.
I'm full of rage.
So much rage.
Yes.
And you know me. So much sexy. So much sexy.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll see you on the other side, peeps. Welcome back to the Drunken Who podcast. So, Steve, so do you have any feelings in that black sludge of your heart that is black sludge?
I have feelings about the way you phrased that, which was, you know, could have been better.
Oh, you don't mean accurate?
I mean, I'm pretty dead inside, but no, uh-huh. I appreciated this. I think because the, and we'll talk about this in a little bit,
maybe
the ending, but I think because we have watched this at a more accelerated pace than you would if you were just like watching them as they aired
week to week and waiting 6, 7, 8 months till the next season.
I think I would be like, well, wait a minute. So this is the second companion in a row that quote unquote died, but then was saved by some ethereal alien presence who used to be human and is now going to explore the universe with her. It just felt very similar to what happened to Kara.
Clara,
sorry.
Yeah, in a different way, but like, you know.
But it's very similar, and it's almost like they want to kill a companion and they want the emotional impact of killing a companion, but they don't want the consequences of killing a companion.
Well, I also like the whole like callback when like, you know, Heather in the first episode was like, you know, thought to be the bad guy, but like Heather actually came and saved Bill.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like, no. Yeah, but like, I don't know.
It's I just, appreciate that. But to me,
I thought the beauty of it was like,
you yes. know, it just felt a little too similar to Clara and Isildur or me, their ending.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, what happened in this episode, Steve?
We pick up pretty much where we left off, which was on a... Or no, we pick up in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like a fucking...
like when you texted me, it's like, this is a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like some... People are like, you know, going in like a wagon train or something with like yeah. horses and stuff.
But
and
you,
there's creepy
and you
scarecrows.
The, yeah, the creepy scarecrows. And you're like, those are like people there yeah. on crosses. That's weird.
So, yeah, those are clearly like those things that we saw in the last episode. And they're twitching and moving.
Well, oh? at first they just look like people with like hoods over them. It just it yeah. didn't. It, and then you realize like, oh, no, these are the Cybermen. Or the proto Cybermen, and then they get to the farmhouse, and they send all the kids to bed, and all the adults just go out a shooting.
Yeah. Oh no! There's more of these patients coming after us. Kill the patients.
Yeah, weird.
Kill the infirmed. You know that seems.
Well,
to make
I
sense.
Don't. They didn't really say they were infirmed. They
no,
I
but
I don't
we
remember
know.
What they. I don't remember what they called them.
But they show up periodically to attack them. That's all they know.
Yeah, and they have to conserve ammo. I don't know how yeah. they're getting ammo, where they're getting it from.
Basically, they like to say it's like, you know, they have the children all there because they want the children because the children are tastier.
And there's less waste.
Yeah, they're easier to convert, you know, because they don't have to like think because like, you know, as we see later, Bill had a strong sense of will and herself that she was able to like, you know, overcome the programming, but she also wasn't the right type of human. She didn't come from the 11th planet or whatever. She came from Earth. So she wasn't quite right. So, you know, they didn't really go into that, but like, I'm going into it. I'm opening that door. Boom. Ghost.
But also I want to see an adorable, like, toddler Cybermen just like struggling to like walk around, you know, unsteady on their feet,
like when we'd see like a little baby a Borg and stuff in Star Trek.
Sure, I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
Okay,
well, I've never seen a baby, but I know of the Borg, but I've never seen those episodes or movies.
You never saw a baby Borg, Steve? But you're Swedish.
No,
you know, it's an IKEA.
There's a baby Bjorn, and it is just a thing you wear your baby on your back with. It's where Luke, I believe, had Yoda in a baby Bjorn.
Oh.
Or is that on the front? I don't care. I'm wondering how much you would have to set aside for Yoda's college fund. Like, he lived 900 years. How long did he stay at the Jedi Academy?
Oh, Jesus. He went for his, like... Masters,
I was gonna say,
doctorate.
Did he do postgrad work?
Postdoc, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna have like 12 doctorates. Oh, I'm gonna have a doctorate in education. Useless, I am.
Yes, you know, he's got like his whole doctoral thesis was on how to prevent people from going to the dark side. Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna happen anyway, huh?
How to spot the Sith? No. Nope.
No one can spot the Sith. They can.
We do end up talking about Star Wars on this podcast, don't we?
You know, it's a crossover, Steve. We're just
crossover.
Well, you know what? It, like Doctor Who and like Star Wars and Star Trek and Dune and Harry Potter. It's all one universe.
Yeah, there's a Venn diagram of fandoms.
Steve, there's a multiverse of science fiction.
Fine. Okay.
And you know what? And I want to also like talk about our sponsors, Disney Plus.
No.
Thank you, Disney Plus, for sponsoring us.
Not a
thing. Or like, you know, we're going to have talk about the Eternals. We have to actually speak good things about the Eternals.
Oh, that's impossible.
I know. I really can't really pull
the that people off. In there were attractive.
Nope, not a thing. Oh, yeah, no, they were.
Yeah, they were. Anyway, Jesus Christ. We are not even to the opening credits of this episode.
Because, like, yeah, so, like, these people are, like, getting attacked in, like, a farm. And all of a sudden, boom, something comes out. Like this one little girl's like, what's going on? And then, like, a Cyberman appears with the doctor.
Yeah, cradling the doctor in his arms.
Yeah, I wonder who that Cyberman was.
Huh. And then we go to credits, and then we come back from credits, and
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, Bill wakes up in a barn and is like, what's going on? And everybody's like treating Bill like some weird creature.
I'm just Bill. Leave me alone. What's going on?
Yeah, Bill wakes up and is Bill and everything's fine. And then
except
all of a sudden
people are like treating her like with kid gloves. What the fuck?
Yeah, and then there's a kid who did not wear gloves who dropped off a mirror and Bill opens it and sees a Cyberman.
I just got a kid gloves.
Yeah, I know. Bill sees a Cyberman in the mirror and is freaked out. And then the doctor shows up and they're talking and Bill's like, you can't fix this, can you? And the doctor's like, nah, I want to, but I don't think I can.
Yeah. But like, oh, oops, laser shot on my head. Didn't mean that for that to happen.
Yeah. Was that always a weapon?
I think so.
That weird thing, like the miner's light on their head.
I think it was.
Okay.
Or like, you know, at least in this, you know, again, we didn't like know these ones. They're different Cybermen. Because remember, many different cultures have Cybermen, Steve. Yes. It's logical that you would eventually progress into becoming like, you know, embracing the internal Cyberman. And external metallicness of yourself.
But
you know, when your fillings overtake your outings.
What?
I know, right? Weird. Hello.
It sounds like I'm going to take my feelings out for a day trip.
Put the foil on your head, Steve, now.
Okay, done. And then Bill, I don't remember what.
There was shit going on where, like, you know, everyone's like, hey, like, you know, there was like Cybermans that showed up that like the people were like shooting and Bill's like, hey, I'm not one of them. I'm here to help. And, you know, Nardole's there. And
hey, I'm cool. Nardole, I'm cool.
Nardole. The Master and Missy show up because remember there was a flashback.
Oh yeah,
we saw like the doctor being tortured by the Master and Missy.
That's
back
right
in the hospital floor, and they're like, ha ha, you know, they're gonna come and get you, and they're also gonna like, you know, turn everyone. And the doctor's like, ha ha, you shot me, but you shouldn't have shot me.
Missy decks him, and punches decks him right in the face. No, the Missy does.
Yeah, Missy does. Right.
Yeah. So Missy, who we know in the past, it was the mistress, the master, whatever. So Missy decks him and the doctor used that time to redefine what human was to include. He says, I changed the number from 1 to 2. And I'm like, okay, so 2 hearts. And it's
two
like they're a little coy.
Hearts, 2 hearts that beat as 2 of hearts. They're human. They're human.
That's not the Phil Collins song.
No, it's Taylor Dane, Steve. It's the classics. Look it up.
I don't know. I know the Phil Collins one. I probably had the single when I was a child.
You mean 2 hearts that beat as one.
Beaten as just one mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But remember, Phil Collins is not a real thing.
Oh, that's right. You think he's evil or something.
Oh, dude. He is like, you know, he's like some sort of like, you know, being that was like thought up by, I don't know, an evil race of
people who
came from another planet.
I just assumed he was like a Billy Joel doppelganger. Or something.
No, Steve. Billy Joel is a hero.
What?
He's a New Jersey hero.
Yeah, but
New Jersey, right?
Care about New Jersey or Long? No, I think he's from Long Island.
Like Pete Davidson.
Sure, yeah, they're both heroes.
Yeah.
What?
You know,
No,
like
Bruce
Star Joe.
Springsteen is from New Jersey.
Yeah, whatever. They're all like singers and stuff.
Anyway, so Jesus Christ. Yeah, Missy and the Master are hanging out and torturing the Doctor, giggling until the Cybermen come for them. And then they go, how did they get the fuck off the roof? I don't remember.
Oh, it was like a Nardole showed up with like an escape ship or
Oh,
something.
yeah,
And
that's
like, you know, it's
right.
like, hey, doctor. And there's like the doctor got shot by a Cyberman that Bill then like, you know, asserted her Billness and grabbed the doctor. But Missy and the
Yeah.
master got up in the ship and the master is like, oh, the doctor's dead. Keep going. And Missy says, the master's dead. Keep going. And like Nardole's like, yeah, heard it before.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So they end up going, and that's where they burst through like the ceiling, and they go and they end up on the level 507 where there's a solar
405. I
farm. What?
think it was 405.
No, it was 507.
Okay.
And they yeah, and that's when they basically come back to the beginning of the episode, and oh my God, we're still only like 8 minutes into this stupid thing.
Well, but like, you know, everyone's kind of accepted Bill because, like, you know, Bill's kind of their like protector, and the
Yes.
doctor is there to become healthier. But it looks like the doctor's on his kind of his last legs
Yeah, the
and
doctor occasionally has like his hand glows with
Regenergy.
Regenergy.
And Bill's like, what's that? And he's like, nothing. Let's keep walking. Let's keep walking. Okay, Dory. I mean,
Yeah,
Doc Dory.
I meant to look up which hand the doctor lost. Because I'm still kind of convinced when only one hand glows, it's the one that
I
he
think it was the right
lost.
hand, honestly. I think it was.
But is that the one that got chopped off?
I think it was.
Okay, so I'm right and I'm amazing.
Yeah, it's the long game, Steve.
Yes. And so yeah, they become part of this farm, and they basically convince that Cyberman Bill is one of the good ones. And
Ooh.
I know it doesn't sound right, does
That
it?
doesn't sound right, but
No,
yes.
but yeah.
And Missy and the Master are both just kind of like sitting around. It's kind of like, yeah, shit's gonna happen. We need to maybe leave. I don't know. And the doctor's like, no, you need to stay and help and make things right.
This is definitely a Custer's Last Stand or an
Yeah.
Alamo type situation.
Yeah.
They're putting like filling sandbags and lining the front of the house so they can like, you know, better shoot the incoming Cybermen. And at one point, they go out and they find elevators in the middle of the woods, and one of them opens up, and a fully armed, like modern Cyberman comes out.
Yeah.
Fully armed and fully armored.
Because they've upgraded.
Yeah, they've upgraded and they shoot. I think Bill shoots him, but also the Doctor, Missy, and the Master all have sonic screwdrivers. Missy's got like a sonic umbrella.
Well, you know what? I think the Master and Missy, it's more than a Sonic because
No, I
they're
assume
evil.
so, but I assumed also that its basis was a sonic screwdriver, but it's
Yeah.
not a tool so much as it is a weapon.
So they zap this one, and the doctor's like, well, you brought them quicker, and now they know. And it's like,
Yeah.
oh, our bad. Don't you know? We're bad. Fuck
Yeah.
you.
So, oh my God, what did happen next?
Well, then they go back to the farmhouse, and the doctor's
Yeah.
like, hey, you know, we need to, like, you know, we're the doc, you know, Nardal is like, helping, like, not making their guns stronger.
Oh
You know, it's
yeah,
like, hey,
through a laptop.
do that. And like, you know, hey, you know what? We're not in farm. You know, you understand that this is like a spaceship and there's like things that I can do. So shoot over there, boom. Hey, shoot over there, boom. I've like rerouted like gas and shit. So like shit will blow up real big time.
Yeah,
So Nardole's
basically.
like, hey, yeah, I'm helping.
Yeah, so whenever you shoot something, Nardole has programmed it so whatever like pressure is built up in the floor through the like the power and electric and water that goes through there, it explodes.
Right. And the doctor like was like looking for these elevators so they could like, you know, transport people to different floors. But now that the jig is up, the doctor's like, well, we can't use these, you jerks. So then,
Yeah.
like, you know, he goes into like, you know, the tornado cellar and finds out, oh, wait, there's ducts under here. We'll like,
yeah,
go there and do that sort of thing. And yeah, so like they've got an escape plan. They're gonna get the kids out.
Nardole and the woman who runs the orphanage have a
One who has like the hots for Nardole.
I was gonna say they have a weird flirtatious relationship.
No, she has a weird flirtatious relationship. He ain't doing nothing to encourage that. He's just kind of like, you know, I'm not human. She goes, I will try anything once.
She gargles. but she does. I think there's a mutual thing there. I think Nardole does reciprocate a little bit. Like he does flirt back a tiny bit in the, oh no, I'm better than human kind of thing. But yeah, they lead all the kids out of there, the people out of there. And the doctor stays behind and Cyberman Bill stays behind. And I think Nardole goes ahead with her.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Doctor's like, you've got to go help them. But Nardole's like, wait, I'm the tech guy. I'm the guy at the desk. I've got to do this.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, no, I'm going to do it. I've got all like the tech now. And Nardole's like, no, you're the one who gives a shit. And the doctor's like, no, you're the one who gives a shit now.
Yuko. Like, he takes his sonic screwdriver and basically like hijacks Nardole's code from Nardole's weird laptop.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the master and Missy are going off to try to find like go back to his TARDIS that's on like the bottom floor. So they're gonna go down in the elevator.
Missy's kind of like, wait, like let me guess something. You came here, you got stuck here. Not that you wanted to be, your TARDIS got like stuck and like you don't have a dematerialization circuit. And he's like, I know.
Oh, yeah. Goes,
but now I've got one. For some reason, I've always got one on me. Did it not look like the circuit from like Back to the Future?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it didn't look like the one that Doc Brown made with like the little three things, prongs things.
I don't remember, honestly. It's been a long time.
To me, it looked like it. Callback. I don't know.
I do want to rewatch those movies, but I would not put it above. I wouldn't put it past Doctor Who to make reference to like Back to the Future because it's like time travel shenanigans.
There were references, but like at one point, Missy and the Master are kind of like, Doctor, we out of here. The Doctor's like, no, don't. You need to make a last stand with us. And like, you know, the Master's like, I don't know what you just said. Fuck you, out of here. Missy's like. But you see, like, Missy getting kind of all welled up and stuff. And she's like, I really need to go.
And then there's a time. And we have established that the Master turns into Missy, like, regenerates into Missy. And so what you were talking about earlier is when Missy, like, slams him up against the wall. And she's like, you know what? You have a memory buried deep down inside where a scary woman told you to have this special circuit and have an extra special circuit on you. So, and then they can do it. And And so then they get in the elevator, but then Missy's like, no, I gotta be with the doctor. And so basically,
it was delicious. She's like, come here. He's like,
hugs him and stabs him.
Come here. Yeah. But it was like, he didn't even flinch.
No.
He's like, this shit's going to go down because we're both evil pieces of shit.
And
it was so good.
She's a pretty woman, so maybe he thought, you know.
Oh, at the one point where they're hugging and he's like, is this gonna happen? She looks down, she goes, ew. He clearly had a boner for her.
Well, it's just masturbation in a different way, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you know, how many books have like, you know, posited that like some like weird science fiction future?
Yeah.
Robert Heinlein had many books on that.
Well, or you like, could just
I'm a clone of myself. Wanna fuck? Yeah.
How many times have you told someone to go fuck themselves? That's all they're doing.
But like when like Missy stabbed him and she's like, yeah, you've got enough time to go regenerate. Bye.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go help the doctor because you know what, it's the right thing to do and I'm about to do the right thing.
And then she actually tells him, go down there, go to the TARDIS, have a cuppa, which is something that I've heard Spike and Giles reference on Buffy.
But it's so British.
Yes, it's very British. And then of course
she turns her back on him, walks away,
he shoots her in the back with a souped up sonic screwdriver, I assume.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know what, I gave you both barrels, you gonna die, bye.
Yeah, It's like, if you can't live, I can't live, or one of those things.
And they're both, it's kind of like, yeah, that's cool. We get it.
And she laughs and laughs and laughs.
And so does he.
And he ends up laughing too. And I'm like, is this the last we've seen?
I was bawling. I was just kind of like, oh my God. Because she like actually wanted to go help the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor would not know that.
Well, and
he did not know that Missy actually, what he did changed her.
Yes.
You know,
for the better.
His goal, because like earlier when like, you know, when
she
like
was rehabilitated.
When they're on the rooftop and like the Missy and Master are against the doctor, and then she like knocks out her masculine self, and the doctor's like, you know, were you with me? She goes, of course I was. He's like, really? She goes, it's complicated.
Yeah. And it
you
is.
Know what? So you just don't know.
Yeah.
And finally she chose a side. Because the doctor at one point's like, I want you by my side. That's all I've ever wanted. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's like bawling.
Okay. And I don't know, me having seen Doctor Who a bunch of times, just, or a bunch of episodes, thinks that I will see Missy again. I just assume that, but I don't know.
The character of the Master, possibly Missy.
Yes.
Let's hope.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
I also assumed that we would see the doctor's daughter or wife or whatever the fuck it was again.
So
whoever it was that David Tennant married in real life.
Oh yeah. Victoria Tennant. Yeah. Well, don't hold your breath, Steve.
Oh, I'm not anymore.
But then again, Russell T. Davis is going to come back. So who knows? Because he created that character. He helped to create that character. He could bring her back at a later point.
Yeah, this episode was written by Stephen Moffat and directed by Rachel Talalay.
Love her.
I do want to watch Tank Girl before we record next.
She brings a very like cinematic quality to a movie or to a TV show.
Yeah, no, I like her work.
And she will be on the next episode also.
Okay.
I'm not on it. She will direct it.
She will be involved. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the original, you might say.
Okay. I don't know. Where were we? We were talking about Missy and the Master.
So Missy and the Master,
they shoot each other, kill each other,
die, and like, you know, possibly, and like, you know, so the Master, so the Doctor, and like, you know, Bill, like, you know, they're like the Cybermen have like broken through like the many floors because like with the time differential and everything, when they, you know, it could be minutes made into days or whatever. So like, you know, when the Cybermen's who are now upgraded and not upgraded show up, start killing, they start shooting and like blasting, and the children, Nardole and like a horny lady who wants Nardole,
go through the tunnels.
Yeah,
they find like an elevator. Yeah,
yeah. At one point, like the one little girl's like, I want to help, and the doctor's like, here, use this apple, original sin.
Yeah,
hey, original sin lady. And so like again, like, you know, she's the apple, and like
she
blows up a whole bunch of Cybermen's
because of Nardole's software.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they end up and they talk about how if we go up the ladder, if we go up the elevator two floors, then it'll take us seconds, but they will have years to prepare.
Yeah.
And so the doctor is then running around the woods, basically using the sonic screwdriver to blow the shit out of Cybermen until eventually he gets shot. He gets zapped because the Cyberman says, we have no need of doctors. And he goes, no, and then zaps him in the heart. And I assume his other heart kicks in. And he's like, no, I am not a doctor. I am the doctor. And then they zap him again and he falls.
We don't care.
It starts to rain.
And it's like, so big blowed up. And then do we see like Nardole and the lady, like, you know, they get to the floor. It's like, well, we've got some time now, blah, blah, blah.
And then there is a hardcore sex scene between Nardole and the woman.
Well, you know, he's got a cybernetic tongue.
Yeah. I mean, it is HBO. I mean, it's not on broadcast TV anymore. So.
So then, like, you know, we see the doctor. The doctor is like dying on a field, and then like, you know, you see Bill as Cyberman Bill is kind of like, oh no, and then
the,
like,
and then the doctor says, this is why you cry.
And then we see like, you know, Bill shed a tear, and then like flashback, Heather from the pilot episode, episode one of series 12,
yeah,
shows up and she says, I've always been here whenever you cry.
She was the one who hid in puddles.
Yeah.
And as soon as they showed a puddle and a face appeared in it, I'm like, oh, that's that lady from early in the season.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So like Heather's there. Heather's like, come with me. And like, you know, Bill's like, but we can't leave the doctor. And Heather's like, I got a plan. Let's go in the TARDIS. And like Bill's like, how can you drive the TARDIS? She goes, I'm a pilot, remember?
No. I barely remember this. I don't know. I mean, was she in the Air Force or something?
No, she became a. There was a ship that crashed into Earth.
Oh, that's
looking for
right.
a pilot.
Oh, someone, yeah.
Like she was like, you know, Heather was a human who was kind of like, I need to be somewhere else. So it like found her and she says, you know, so it's like, oh, you want to be somewhere else? We'll make you a pilot. And yeah, so anyway, so now that like Heather and Bill are the same, they'll travel. And Heather like brought the TARDIS to where it needs to be for the doctor.
Which is in a fucking snowstorm.
Yeah, exactly.
And the doctor, his hands start glowing with regenergy. And he's
I'm
like,
not ready.
No, god damn it. And didn't he quote David Tennant?
Yes.
Yeah.
He quoted Tennant. He also quoted Smith.
Okay. I don't
there
remember.
Was like two different he's like, I don't want to go. And then it was kind of like
yeah.
he's like you know, there was like a specific Smith one. I don't remember what it was.
No,
but it was
kind of
like one of these things.
I don't want to go. That was Tennant. I knew that was Tennant.
Totally.
But I don't remember him quoting Matt Smith. But I believe it because it's something that they would do. And
yeah.
and fans who are more who have better memories than me would remember.
Like me, sort of.
So
sort of.
So and yeah, so then he stumbles outside, and then we go to back to the very beginning of the previous episode, and he's like, no, I'm not ready, and his hands start to glow, and he sticks them in the snow to cool them off to, like,
yeah.
stem the tide. And
no,
then we
no,
see this,
I'm the doctor!
You see this, like, silhouette of a guy who's like, hey, what are you doing? And the doctor says, what? I'm the doctor. And he's like, no, you may be a doctor, but you're not the doctor. I'm the doctor. And all of a sudden,
the original, you might say,
we see Filch or yeah. What's his name? He's got two first names, right?
David Alan Greer.
Yes, David Alan Greer, of course.
He is amazing.
In Living Color.
Yeah. Or John Basalt Jimenez.
Isn't it? David Bradley?
David Alan Bradley.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it's Filch. Let's just call him Filch.
Yeah. So Filch comes up and he's like, I'm the doctor. And then it's, next
Wait,
time.
What?
On.
Come back at Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was. It wasn't the next time on. It was a come back at Christmas. And I'm like, bitch, it's April. And then I realized, no, that's when I'm watching it, not when it first aired. So I take back the bitch, but it's still April. Yeah.
So Steve, overall, what'd you think of this episode?
I thought it was a good end to the two-parter. I don't know if it was a good end to the season. I will say
I think the next episode, which is the Christmas episode, is a better end to the season in whole. Think of that as the 13th episode of this season.
Okay,
but for this particular two-parter,
I did appreciate it. I do think they wrapped it up. I thought it was a decent setup and a decent payoff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it's Doctor Who and it's like Marvel or Star Wars, where it's like, you know what? They're not dead unless you, even if you see a body, they're not necessarily dead. So I don't know if Missy is really dead or the Master. I assume the Master, because that dude got stabbed, and that's harder to like hand wave away death than like a laser bolt to the back or whatever.
Sure.
But I didn't care for Bill's ending. And the reason I didn't is because, like I said before, I saw a very similar ending to Clara and Ishildur with Bill and Heather. And it feels like a cheap... Oh no, we want the emotional devastation of killing a companion, but we don't want to really kill the companion kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
I
think because also Rory and Amy, their ending was they're dead to the show, but they're not really dead. It feels like this is a pattern where it's like they're they're, like I said, they're dead to the show, but they're not dead. And it's like, well, you could kill them or you could let them get on with their life in a different way. Like, it just feels like the same thing again. No, and actually, you know what? Now that I think about Donna with wiping her memory was kind of the same thing. She's dead to the show, but she's not dead.
Right, yeah. When they revisit her later and they're like, the doctor shows up with like the winning ticket of a lottery ticket. And like suddenly she's a millionaire. And, you know, the doctor gives like, you know, Wilf and Donna's mom a wink. Salute. And like, oh, and they're like, oh, thank you so much.
That's the
now
the,
I can give Wilf a good funeral.
The crying Wilf meme.
God, that actor is still alive.
Oh, I believe it.
He's 117, Steve. He's older than me.
I was going to say he's half as old as you are.
He's half as old as me, Steve. I hope one day to achieve that he achieves my age.
Christ, I wish you could retire finally.
Well, when I met Christ.
Stupid capitalism.
Like, this episode was like, you know, again, like I was like weeping and not weeping, but like there was times I welled up and like
it is very emotional.
It hit me very emotionally because, like, you know, at the time and like I was kind of revisiting, this could have been Peter Capaldi's last episode. It wasn't, but it was like fun when, like, you know, Peter Capaldi's like, no, I won't do this. And then, like, the first doctor shows up, the original, you might say.
Yes.
And like, if you know Doctor Who's history,
which I don't,
the first doctor like died, or I'm sorry, regenerated, his first regeneration on camera occurred after he encountered the Cybermen.
Oh, huh.
Yes. So there was a whole thing, and there was like a thing where, like, you know, because the actor William Hartnell, his health was somewhat in. The reason they regenerated him because his health wasn't very good. So instead of like just recasting him, it's like, hey, it's science fiction. Why do we make it where he like becomes a different person?
Yeah.
And like, it's still the same character. So that's what they did. And William Hartnell then, you know, but there was an episode where he was kind of not well. So they had him in a coma sort of thing. Okay. So, there might be some explanation as to why you didn't see William Hartnell in a full episode in the past. I'm just saying. That's how good Stephen Moffat is. Stephen Moffat's kind of like, you know what? There's some shit that's going down. I need to like really explain why it's going down this way. And I'm going to give like some sort of explanation.
Why does he talk like he's an extra in the movie Fargo?
Because I thought he was more an extra in the movie. Like, you know, I thought he was a Beatle.
It did sound more like Minnesota to me.
Okay. Well, you know, like, and shit that went down in this episode, I don't know if you noticed, but like, you know, I remember like reading notes and afterwards, like, oh, that's kind of cool. When the doctor is speaking to Bill, when she's as Cyber Bill, he's not meeting her eye to eye because Bill as Cyber Bill is taller.
Huh.
So he's like looking like basically like over her head.
I did not notice that.
Which is actually kind of cool because kind of like, you know, it maintains that whole like, you know, reality.
But didn't it zoom in at the end of the last episode, zoom into Bill's eye and show her real eye as a tearing up, but zoom into the Cyberman eye.
Yeah, but it zoomed into her eye though.
Yeah,
as opposed to the doctor, it'll be going, the doctor went,
so the like, doctor, like, you know, so basically Bill as a Cyberman is taller. It's not like the eyes are higher, it's just overall taller.
It was like the whole thing where they're just kind of like, and they grind her up and put her in that thing.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Kind of gross. You know, now there was a whole thing where like where the doctor is kind of like experiencing his like past companions. You know, was it almost like the new Who, where like, you know, you saw like, you know, you saw Donna.
Oh, yeah.
Martha, Rose, blah, blah, blah. You didn't see Mickey or Rory, though.
No.
And at that point, Mickey wasn't being, you know, he wasn't being canceled.
Oh, Mickey. Okay, not Rory. Okay.
Yeah, no, but Rory, like, you know, Rory should have been there, too, but he wasn't. Yeah,
but these were Mickey and Rory, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's because they were going through the, well, I guess they did, they went through the women, but they also included Captain Jack. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't include Mickey and Rory, especially Rory, because Mickey was kind of like an accessory of Rose.
Right.
Rory.
He was the tin dog.
Yeah. Amy and Rory were like a couple. They were together and they were a team. But like Mickey Rainy. And Rose, Mickey was kind of just like I said, like an accessory. He just like,
it wasn't Moe's.
Came with her sometimes.
It wasn't Ricky. Oh, no. Ricky was a different character.
No. And Ricky was so fine.
Yeah. No, I know. Ricky was the gay one. Hello, Ricky.
I mean, so I was referencing the Weird Al song about Desi Arnaz and the Lucy show, but whatever.
Steve, you have your reality. I have my reality.
Yeah.
Your reality is irreality. My reality is real reality.
Okay.
Whatever. See, it's technical.
Sure.
There were some quotes from this episode that I enjoyed. Now, like when the doctor says to the master, well, knock yourself out. Missy then whacks the back of the master's head.
I did enjoy that.
And she says, your wish is my command.
Yes. She nails her past self. Yeah.
I did enjoy that. Like the doctor at one point is like sewage, smartphones, and Donald Trump. Some things are just inevitable.
Yeah. Ooh,
snap.
I don't want Donald Trump to be inevitable.
Well, you know, when he's talking about different planets.
Yeah,
you know, some like fascist jerk is going to show up and, you know, orangeify like the nation.
Yeah, make racism okay again.
Yeah. When the master says, is the future going to be all girls? The doctor says, we can only hope. I wonder what that's foreshadowing, Steve.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, I don't know.
Could be some foreshadowing!
Maybe, but was when Jodie Whittaker's the doctor, is there a time where she has all female companions?
Nope. See? Well, why would it be all girls? No. But like, you know, oh, so you're saying it's a fallacy. So
yeah.
It's an exception that proves the rule?
Sure. I don't know.
I never really understand that phrase. That's always confusing to me.
Yeah. You know, that you're the exception that proves the rule.
All right, Steve. You have your postdoctorate in like, educationally English.
Basically, it's a postdoctorate because I just watched a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. So what does that mean, Steve?
I don't know.
Edumacate me.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
It's so true.
The more we drink, the less sense we make.
Speaking of the less sense we make, Steve, how can people contact us?
They can email drunkterwho@gmail.com or they can reach out on Twitter at drunkterwho, that's John,
hey?
Or at srdolin. That's
what?
Me. That's also my username on Instagram and Twitter.
Where?
If you can, John's not on Facebook, but I am. So reach out to me if you want to. Who cares? Who knows? It'll
You're
be cool.
Facebook, Grandpa?
I'm on it. I don't go on there very often.
I'm the old one and you're on Facebook.
You're the ancient one.
Oh,
you're from the time of Cthulhu. But yes, I
worship my many arms.
I don't know. I haven't completely divorced myself from Facebook yet. Wait, what did you think of this episode, John?
Oh, I loved it. I thought this episode was just kind of like, again, like, you know, it wouldn't have affected me so emotionally if I wasn't invested in the characters.
Yeah.
And I thought Bill could have been like made a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, there was still enough of her character that was brought to me where like when she like sacrificed herself basically for the doctor, I'm like, oh my God. And then like when Heather showed up, I'm like, Heather saved like the existence of Bill. I'm like, that was just great. And like, you know, again, I did appreciate the whole like callback because like when Heather was like used by the ship to like pilot them out of there, they didn't make her a bad guy. They made her character be someone who could like, you know, live on.
Yeah.
And like, you know, also have wants and needs. She needed to have Bill with her. So like, you know, the fact that, you know, Bill was like, you know, pulled out of this could have been like a minute or two for the Heather character. It didn't mean that she waited like 4 billion years like a Schilder or me did for Clara. She could have just like, you know, like zoom, zoom, zoom. She was a time traveler, much like the doctor was.
Yeah,
so she could have like pulled her right out of that. Love this episode. I thought this was great.
My issue is that I don't remember really what happened with Heather at the beginning of the season. I don't remember how that was resolved. I do remember that the doctor said, like, no, she's not evil. It's just she's just functioning like she's supposed to. And didn't she also like pop up on a weird planet?
Well, they went to like 5 billion years in the future, and like the doctor's like, ha, they'll never find us here. And then she showed up and they found her.
Oh yeah.
And she found them. And it's like, oh my God, let's go to Australia.
And so it almost, and like I said, it almost felt like a cop out to me in a very way too similar to Clara and Ishildur.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But yeah. Ladies romping around time and space.
So, hey Steve.
Yeah.
Speaking of like, you know, Heather reaching out and like finding Bill again.
Yes.
Do we have our own Heather out there who's reaching out and finding us?
If you mean Tim emailing us.
You mean friend of the show, Tim, who is also known as Heather, correspondent Tim?
I don't know if Heather. I don't know if he'll embrace Heather as much as he has embraced the comic correspondent.
Oh my God, you do that so wrong.
Oh, I know. I'm
bad at it. I'm so offended.
You should be.
Steve.
So Tim emailed and said, not about who, but Ferda.
Ferda?
He said, you mentioned Letterkenny. he said, my kids introduced me to it.
I'm sorry. I think I've watched like 10 minutes of the show on like YouTube, and now it's like Tim brings it up. Hopefully I'm like, I will like, you know, appreciate what he said. Go ahead,
Steve. I haven't seen any of it. I just know it's on Hulu, but I haven't watched it yet.
Maybe this will want us to watch it more.
He said, you mentioned Letterkenny. My kids introduced me to it. It's hilarious. Right up the Drunkter Who alley.
I can see that.
It's diverse, inclusive, quirky, and very often very filthy. So much so that Urban Dictionary is probably a sponsor. There's even sports. Well, hockey, as it is a Canadian show. One word of warning, though. If you watch it, you may never look at an ostrich the same. Tim.
Ooh.
I don't know the ostrich reference, but, you know.
You know,
since I only look at ostriches with disdain and hunger, maybe I should change that by watching Letterkenny.
Hunger?
They're meat, John. They're giant poultry.
Have you ever had like ostrich? I know they have like, they offer like ground ostrich or whatever.
I haven't.
Has like, you know, Heidi made like, you know, ostrich tacos or something?
No. What, I need giant to text turkeys, your wife. Whatever.
I need to text your wife and say like, hey, make some like a taco out of like, you know, ostriches. And she'd be like, on it.
Do they sell ostrich at the local Mariano's?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Thanks, Tim. I need.
Thanks for writing in, Tim.
I need a new half hour to show to watch on my own, because sometimes, you know, I have time to kill. I don't think Heidi would like Letterkenny, but my boss loves it, and so Tim loves it, and so I will probably give it a shot.
Have you watched like Schitt's Creek with Heidi?
Yes.
It's Canadian.
So is Trailer Park Boys, and I know that we wouldn't like that.
Yeah, no, I don't like Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll give Letterkenny a try.
Awesome. Thanks for writing in, Tim.
Yeah. Friend, I don't remember show, why Tim, we mentioned it.
In. Thanks for writing in, Tim, from show.
Good job, John.
Let me try that again.
No, do it. That's what we're keeping.
All right, Steve, which leads us to the unsung Kumar of the episode, Steve.
Sing that person, John.
Today's unsung Kumar of the episode is Catherine Oswald. That's her name. Okay. Catherine Oswald, final credit crew on Doctor Who for this episode. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, she actually is the final crew member credited on the episode. She's a forerunner, and she's also was in the art department. She was in the, you know, she like has done stuff for the EastEnders.
Okay.
The Big Family Cooking Showdown, which I've referenced in the past.
Oh, I don't remember it at all.
Watch it on Netflix. It is great. Also, she has been in this year, Call the Midwife.
Oh, Heidi watches that.
Then she was also did four episodes of Doctor Who, Steve.
Okay.
This episode and the Christmas episode.
That's two.
This episode and the next episode. So she did like all of it. She did The Lie of the Land, Empress of Mars, World Enough in Time, The Doctor Falls.
So you said
four episodes. Didn't I? So she's not in the Christmas special. My bad. No, wait, no, but she has a different credit in the Christmas episode. My bad.
She did the previous three before this or what?
No, they were like all different times.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Anywho, so Unsung Queen of the episode, Catherine Oswald, we salute you.
What was her job again? What was her credit?
Floor runner.
Okay.
So, hey, Steve.
Yes.
Speaking of the next episode.
Yes.
We're going to watch.
I guess Christmas. We were.
Yes, we were. We are.
Okay.
We will be. It's future, past, and current tense. Does that make any sense to you?
No, not at all.
I know, right? So we're going to be speaking of Twice Upon a Time, Steve.
Okay.
Knowing that the Doctor like touches snow, and like I might be the original one per se. Yeah. What is Twice Upon a Time about, Steve?
I'm going to say this is a buddy, like a classic buddy cop movie. Aww,
nice.
You know, like Lethal Weapon or Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or anything like that, where there's like the mismatched buddy cops, the one who's close to retirement, which is it William Hartnell?
Yes.
The original Doctor?
You might say.
Played by Filch, who's...
Enough in Time.
David Bradley?
Oh, good job, Steve.
I just saw his name in the credits. So
not Carol Lumbly. That's a different person.
I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, it's like a buddy cop thing. They're gonna hunt down I don't know, let's say the master, let's say they're gonna stay on their little Arctic planet. They're gonna hunt down a rogue penguin. And they're gonna kill that penguin. There's gonna be a shootout, and there's gonna be shenanigans afoot or a flipper, and William Hartnell is gonna scream there can be only one, and he swings a sword at the at Peter Capaldi, and Peter Capaldi blocks it but misses, and so his hand just
slices that off, and he absorbs his regenergy, and he turns into like someone else.
He does. William Hartnell, he blocks it, but he blocks it with his wrist, so his hand gets cut off. And so it's
that right hand?
Yes, a parallel to that hand that got cut off when he was turning into David Tennant.
Turn into Liam Hemsworth then?
No, he turns into Jodie Whittaker.
Loki?
He turns into Jodie Whittaker after
Luke Skywalker?
He screams, there can be only one, and takes a sword and cuts his hand and head off.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dark.
And also, Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
So Peter Capaldi people couldn't hear you laugh because
the beer was in my mouth going down my throat.
Yes.
So I snorted a little bit. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that Peter Capaldi
saying a lot of things. Die.
Yeah, so many things. So our next episode is going to be a Christmas episode where we may or may not turn into another incarnation of the Doctor.
Sci-fi franchise. Yes.
Sci-fi franchise.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's see how much that actually shows up in the next episode of Doctor Who may or may not have a special guest. We'll see. So until the next time, I've been John.
I've been Steve.
And like, you know, hey, put your milk duds in the bucket and maybe we'll have some num nums.
I think what you're trying to say is please rate, review, and subscribe whatever podcast app you use to listen to this nonsense, because we could use the help.
Wow, you got a lot of subtext from what I said there.
I know. Well,
thank you.
That's the magic of milk duds, John.
We'll see you on the next time, peeps.
Bye.
Bye. Yes. And again, I know because you have black sludge where your heart should be. Blah, blah,
I'm
blah, blah,
dead
blah.
Inside, yes.
You've got Russian oil where your heart should be, Steve.
No, I have Pennsylvania natural gas.
Oh. Steve's heart farts out special things to his brain.
They've fracked my heart.
Oh, I want a song.
I was just thinking that could be a song. That would be a country western song.